3D firearm to keep the public safe, ultimately, because we see that threat as 3D printing becomes more accessible and easier to produce firearms.
A black BMW pulls up in a suburban street in Bradford. The driver, Majid Rayman, parks outside the house of Christopher Gill, who has been under police surveillance. Gill walks out of the house, puts a supermarket shopping bag in the back of the car, then goes back inside. Rayman drives off, unaware that he's being watched by police officers. Detective Superintendent Al Burns of Yorkshire and Humber Regional Organised Crime Unit is supervising from the operations room.
That car departed the address and was en route. It was my professional assumption and judgment that there was a potential for a viable firearm in the back of that car.
Al Burns has a quick decision to make. He suspects Rayman is now armed, so he can't be allowed to drive far. But stopping him in the late afternoon traffic carries a risk, both to police officers and the public.
It was a tense situation, it always is, and the last thing we want to do is put the public at risk. So the decision was made to stop that car, what we'd call a relatively hard stop, so surrounding the car, forcing it to stop by armed police officers.
This busy dual carriageway on the edge of the city is where Majid Rayman's car is intercepted by armed officers. Rayman is wrestled to the ground and handcuffed. When police look inside the shopping bag in the footwell, they see what looks like a submachine gun. But this weapon, a mixture of 3D printed plastic parts and metal components, has been homemade. There's a loaded magazine and bullets too. How surprised were you to find a 3D printed firearm there?
Surprised, yeah. Very, very rare occurrence in UK law enforcement. Very rare to see such weapons like that in, you know, the UK. To have it in your own doorstep, a real surprise and obviously concerning.
Christopher Gill's house in Bradford is searched. In the loft, police find another two 3D printed guns close to completion. The investigation leads them to Hull and the home of computer expert Sibusiso Moyo, the mastermind of the operation. There was evidence of 3D printers, along with the tools and metal parts needed to finish the weapons. Assembly instructions had been downloaded from the internet.
I'm not going to go into the details of the websites, but through the investigation, we're able to see that there was a file-sharing application. Moyo himself had an MSc in computer science at the University of Bradford. I was a car enthusiast, so had some knowledge around manufacturing.
And in terms of seeking advice for how to manufacture, they were sourcing this then relatively freely on the internet.
You've got to have a knowledge where you're going to go look. Certainly, if you start putting in terminology into search engines and stuff like that, there's lots of different sites out there.
How difficult is it to manufacture one of these?
I couldn't do it, put it that way. I think that's the challenge. It's, some people may say it's easy, I guess, if you have technical knowledge, technical abilities, but certainly I wouldn't be able to manufacture that.
Gill and Moyo were handed lengthy prison terms in 2023 for plotting to build and supply the guns to criminal gangs. Rayman, thought to be their courier, was jailed too, in a case described as the first of its kind in the UK. But it's one that also posed a troubling question for law enforcement. If this gang could produce their own weapons, why not others too?
So in terms of the printing, you can see that the filament that's being brought through from the spool printer is going to get heated slightly above its melting temperature.
Dr. Rachel Bolton King is Associate Professor of Forensic Science at Nottingham Trent University.
And then it's going to then deposit the melted material in layers in order to build up each of the layers and construct whatever's being printed.
Rachel is an expert in firearms and ballistics, and in the lab she's showing me how a 3D printer works. They print off computerized designs, often using filaments of polymer, a tough plastic, which are melted under heat and layered piece by piece to create parts that you put together to make a gun, usually with the addition of metal components. Making a weapon like this is illegal in the UK, and it does represent an engineering challenge. Printing a weapon and assembling it can take many hours.
There are some that are partial builds, so this is where there's a relatively small amount of 3D printed components. There are what we call hybrid firearms that are 3D printed, so this is where there are much more of that firearm which is printed, so whatever that material might be, but typically more polymer based. And then you've got fully 3D printed firearms, which are literally every part of it is fully 3D printed.
And how lethal is a fully 3D printed firearm?
All you need is one shot that's got enough energy in that projectile to kill somebody.
Okay, next up, we have this beautiful piece. This is a 3D printed MP5.
Woo! Dude, it shoots. Duh. That's fun.
The 3D printed firearm movement began in the United States, where the right to own a gun is protected by the Constitution. Enthusiasts show what they can do across a range of online platforms.
Do you happy for us to use your name?
Go ahead. Not a problem.
In the program, I mean, yeah?
Yeah, not an issue.
Gage Moran founded an online community from his home in Mississippi, where members compete to create new gun designs and share downloadable files online.
This was one of the very first ones that our organization created. This is a V3 version. This is a Harlot. It is a Derringer 22, and what that means is it is a single-shot 22. This is completely 3D printed. Cost me a few bucks of filament, no firearm parts besides a barrel liner, and everything else can be sourced at your local hardware store.
Gage argues that having a gun to protect himself and his family is his right, which, where he lives in the southern United States, it is. But he isn't oblivious to the harms that can be caused by firearms, nor their attraction to criminal elements.
I mean, of course, criminals and extremist terrorists, they're going to use any kind of freely available information. If somebody's wanting to hurt somebody, they're going to find one way or another.
But while what Gage is doing is entirely legal in most U.S. states, the information he disseminates is available to anyone with a web browser and a decent connection. The internet doesn't have borders. That means homemade gun production is, theoretically, open to anyone with a 3D printer, even here in the UK, despite our much stricter gun laws. Zoltan Ferretti is CEO of Deep Layer Lab, which gathers data on 3D printed firearms. He compares the relative ease with which they can be produced with the difficulty of obtaining a conventional weapon from abroad.
It's changing everything that we know about traditional firearm smuggling or trafficking. Those smuggling routes that were established in the past are become completely irrelevant. You can manufacture these firearms at your location. You can find the unregulated components either locally, or you can just purchase them online and you can basically manufacture your own firearm in total isolation.
Many thought this couldn't be done. A moment to celebrate for its maker. But could this plastic firearm have grave implications for gun control around the world? All of the major parts of this weapon have been created with this $8,000 3D printer.
3D printed weapons first emerged as a serious proposition in 2013 with the launch of the Liberator pistol, regarded as the first handgun of its type. The design was shared free online and downloaded 100,000 times in the first 2 days. But the Liberator was relatively flimsy and unreliable.
Let's see how it works. We get this in there. We're loaded. Let's go hot.
The next big development in 3D printed firearms came with the FGC9, released in 2020.
The FGC9 was a game changer because it was the first design that involved no regulated parts.
This is Dr. Rajan Basra, an expert in printed firearms at King's College London.
So you could combine the 3D printed components with off-the-shelf metal parts to create a functioning 9mm semi-automatic firearm. Alongside that, it was the first design where there was a meticulous step-by-step instructional guide. It included links to videos showing you how to assemble the firearm at every step.
The FGC9 then could be built from parts sourced from eBay or a local DIY store. Its design provided the means of making your own homemade gun without attracting the attention of law enforcement. This was deliberate. The letters FGC stand for Gun Control.
So it was a game changer in the actual composition of the firearm, but also it had such appeal because the designer of that gun, a guy who called himself J. Stark 1809, he was a very charismatic figure. He was this almost fundamentalist ideologue. He considered it a human right for anyone anywhere to have a firearm. So that's why he designed this gun, which anyone anywhere could make, regardless of gun control restrictions. And there are now a core hub of activists that are dedicated to advancing these designs, making them more effective and easier to make.
According to the National Crime Agency, the FGC-9 or part-completed FGC-9s were the most commonly recovered 3D-printed firearms in the UK last year. They were the weapons seized in the Bradford case we heard about earlier. The gun in the car was tested by experts at a forensic lab. File on 4 investigators obtained the video, and I'm watching it now. A police marksman is firing from about 10 yards at a target pinned to a block of wood several inches thick. The bullet smashes through the wood and flies out the other side.
That was a lethal weapon, that it was capable of firing 9mm ammunition, that it had the potential and indeed the capacity to kill.
The gun is inscribed with the words "Live Free or Die" and an image of an arm holding a sword dripping in blood. At a safe location, Detective Superintendent Al Burns lets me handle it.
You can see black component parts made largely of plastic with a metal barrel magazine, which is again 3D printed. And then it's got a cocking mechanism at the front. You can hear the magazine going in.
To my untrained eye, this looks almost like a little machine gun.
Absolutely, and if that was pointed at you as a member of the public or a police officer, you'd be worried. It's hefty enough, isn't it? Yeah, it's got a good old bang. 3D printed, I think for many people, conjures up the idea of a toy. As you can see from looking at that, it is far from being a toy. That's a fully functioning, viable firearm, which looks dangerous, is dangerous, and presents a significant risk to their communities.
This was not a one-off crime. File on 4 investigates can reveal there have been 80 cases involving 3D printed firearms between 2023 and 2025. The National Crime Agency say most of the weapons were unfinished or unable to fire at the point they were intercepted. There have been a further 9 cases this year, including the arrest of 6 people in the Midlands in April for alleged offences linked to 3D printed firearms. A man from Crewe was jailed for 5 years in March for possession of a 3D printed gun, and a Bristol man admitted in court in April to making a 3D printed submachine gun.
My name is Christian Ashwell. I am the head of threat for firearms and explosives in the National Crime Agency, and I'm responsible for the UK's response to firearms and explosives.
Christian tells me that criminals who carry printed guns do so in a wide range of circumstances.
We've found people carrying them in a drugs perspective, so in a stash house that's holding drugs, probably protection weapons, so protection of the stash house from rip-off from other crime groups, so we've found 3D weapons in those circumstances, particularly the FGC-9, because of what it looks like and what it can do as a semi-automatic machine pistol. County lines, people carrying them for their own protection on the street. There's been a couple of thefts where people have held up shops at gunpoint. We've had at least one where it was used in a violent incident, but we haven't had, to our knowledge, a discharge in the UK from a 3D weapon. But that doesn't mean we're not taking it very seriously, because we see that threat as 3D printing becomes more accessible and easier to produce firearms.